This morning, we come back to the season of messages we're in the shifting season. And this morning, I want to talk from the thought, check the DNA. Check the DNA. Check the DNA. Let's see how we can start this off. Let's keep it light around here for a second. DNA has become the subject matter of a million different conversations. Talk about it when it comes to trying to figure out where you come from, trying to figure out if you are prone to certain things. DNA is used to determine whether you connected to somebody or not. And in the last 15 to 20 years, DNA has been kind of laughed about due to reality television, specifically The Maury Show. Yeah. Like I said, we're going to keep it light for a second. You know, see, we're going to keep it light because, see, some of y'all come into church too tense. Y'all come in here too tense. Y'all looking like you need to take something to kind of loosen up. But so if you watch Maury, you do not watch Maury because it's hard-hitting television. You don't watch Maury to find your news and political whatever. You watch Maury for the drama, for the tea, for all that. That's why you watch it. You watch it because you want to see how everyday people decide, I'm going to get on television and I'm going to put all my business out in the street and I'm going to take the risk of becoming a lifelong meme by telling the world my business. So people get on TV and it's usually 95% of the time is some DNA test involved, right? As a 95% of the time. Maybe the other 3% is a lie detector test, and the other 2% is some feel good something somewhere. But 95% of the time is about a DNA test. You get the guy come on there barking and everything, saying, hey man, listen, ain't my kid, he don't look, he don't got the forehead or nothing. He don't look nothing. And you got the woman that comes out. Listen, you got the woman that comes out. I don't care what ethnicity she is. Everybody mad already. You got dude mad, got woman mad, woman that. I don't care where anybody's at. I'm 1,000% sure. That little Ray Ray is in. That's your son. I don't care. That's your son. And we wait all that time in that 10-minute segment for one thing to happen. You know what we wait on? Here come the test. Here come that envelope. Everybody in the crowd, they don't care about the well-being of the child. They just want the drama to happen in our home. And it goes one or two ways. Right? It goes one or two ways. Maury looks at it in the, you know, when it comes to, when you hear that, everybody on edge. And when that brother's told, you are the father, first thing happens, he fall out on the floor. Yes. And just crying, and then after he fall out on the floor, he starts climbing up the stairs and walking out. Like, I can't believe I'm stuck with her for the next 18 years of my life at middle. Or the 1,000% shore woman. Gets her face broke in when Maury says, you are not the father. You have never seen people run so hard in your life. If you don't, look, they run faster than running the 100 or the 200. They running for their life and falling into couches and breaking through doors. They don't want to be seen. And all of this is over the truth that is found in DNA. All of this comes from finding the truth about something that is found in something that is in your genetics. Now, the interesting thing about that idea, as much as we laugh about it, because we are people, you know, reactions that have nothing to do with us make us laugh. But here's some truth. Everything you need to know is in the DNA. And sometimes the truth that's in there is not always pleasant. And watch this. When you find out the truth, it can be downright scary when you discover that a lot of things you thought may not be true. Y'all with me still? The text is an interesting text because there are certain dynamics. One, you got Jesus with a bunch of people and he's doing what he's doing. He's teaching folk. He's teaching, he's preaching, and all of a sudden, the way that the scene sets up, he's teaching people, and the scripture tells us that his family is coming to where he is with the intention on taking him away from what he's doing. And why would they do such a thing? Because his siblings, not his mama, but his siblings, have come to the conclusion that their brother is crazy. He always preaches somewhere. He always going somewhere. He always doing this, always doing that. Nah, they convinced their mother, let's get up and go get him because we're doing it for his own good. So they go to where he is, and somebody, doesn't say who, hears basically a knock at the door and goes to the door, and they're like, we came for Jesus, we his family. And God comes back, says, Jesus, your family here. And then Jesus raises a very interesting thought for our consideration today. He said, who my folks? As Charles Ferguson translated, who my folk? Who my people? And watch what he says. He answers his own question. Those who do the will of my Father. That's my people. Jesus cuts off his own biological family and states that the truth is in the real DNA. And the truth is, you ain't a part of me unless you're doing the will of my Father. So, it brings up an interesting conundrum. For many of us today, many of us don't want to always say it out loud, whether in public or private, but all of us, somewhere along the line, we've never always truly felt that we belonged in certain spaces. I'm about to help somebody today. I really want to help somebody today because I've been there, I've done that. I don't always feel at home in certain spaces. Amen. And I'm not talking about my introverted personality, my empath personality, none of that. I'm just talking about period. Because if I get into a certain group of people, I can feel at home in 5 seconds. Mm-hmm. But when I get around some other folk, I feel so out of place. Mm-hmm. Just do. Some of y'all are in families that you feel out of place. And you think it's because of something you did that somebody in your family didn't like, and that's not the truth. is because God didn't make you to be like the environment you're in. Come on Wednesday night, we'll talk about it. We've been talking about it. Every place that you start is not indicative of where you're going to end up. Everybody's families are not the same. You know, we talk about being close, or we talk about this, or we talk about that, whatever. You know, all kind of stuff like that. And sometimes you just don't fit in a certain spot. And it's okay. You know, people actually get up in arms because, you know, there's this thing about, you know, they're still your family. You still got to be this, that, and the other. And we don't want to talk about the fact that everybody in our family ain't always cool. Some of them are toxic. I'm going to say it for the folk in the on the street. Everybody that's connected to you by physical DNA, they are not necessarily good for you. Jesus brings up this interesting thing. Jesus, not Peter, James, John, whatever. Jesus. So, because everybody want to just reduce Jesus to like he didn't have no issues in his own family. Yeah, he did. Yeah, his mama loved him, okay? Yeah, we know that. Mama knew who he was. Okay? But his brothers and his siblings didn't get him. And he was the older brother. He the oldest. Not them. They weren't there before him. And they trying to pull their big brother in because they think he's crazy. But he stopped the whole show and said, let me define for you what family looks like today. Let me tell you what DNA code I'm on. The DNA code I'm on are those who do the will of my Father. That's family. Now, don't get me wrong. I am not up here to try to destroy people's families and family dynamics. Don't you walk out of here talking about the pastor trying to mess up somebody's house. That ain't what I'm saying. If y'all got a loving household, guess what? Keep on loving. Now, that's great. But what I'm really saying is, when you get down to understanding who you are in God, when it comes to fulfilling your purpose, your environment begins to change. And who you're around, y'all are going to have the same DNA about going forward in the things of God. Mm-hmm. So can I tell you what's in the DNA code? Let me help you. In the DNA of a believer, there are three things that are paramount. One, there's a commitment to the mission. There's a commitment to the mission. There's a commitment to the mission. Say commitment.
Commitment.
Say it a little louder. Commitment.
Commitment.
Uh-huh. So that means you are not just talking about keeping things going like they've always gone just to maintain. You are committed beyond today. You are saying to yourself, beyond this moment and how things are, there is something greater down the line. And it begins with these following things. Jesus said, those who do the will of my Father are my family. He separates those who didn't get him from those who did. And sometimes the folk that don't get you may be family, but you have to be what? Bold enough to know who God is. To be able to say, I love my family, and they'll tell you that what I'm about to tell you is true. My mama, my grandmother, they never wanted me to preach. Don't get quiet. They hear, they even said it. See, that's what I want to see. I don't like y'all. See, y'all don't want to be honest. Look, I'm being honest. They didn't want me to do this, and they had good reasons. Because they had experiences and they saw things. How many times I've told you, I'm a sixth generation preacher. This is not new in my family, right? So they have seen the good, the bad, the ugly, and downright evil. Mm-hmm. And the last thing they wanted was to see their son and grandson get into something that has all that potential. But my 16-year-old self and my confidence in God said, I'm going to trust God now, unlike people that I respected and I loved who told me their own stories and told me about what pain they went through for denying who they were. I said, if I'm going to struggle, I'd rather struggle now than have to struggle later knowing I'm meant to do more. They were concerned out of experience, and I love them for it. And 21 years later, apparently God was right. Right? That's not a knock against my family, but I'm going somewhere. What they said was out of love. But there are people in your world that come to try to obstruct your progress, because all they have been sent to do is be an earth disturber and an obstructionist. All they ever do is tell you the most negative things in the world. Nothing out of their mouth is ever positive. They will say that you're crazy because you're doing what God told you, but they've never heard God speak to them about doing anything with their own life. And so because they don't know what God wants to do with them, they are determined to get in your way and try to mess up what God is trying to do in your life. And all of a sudden, because you're not paying attention, you move from being committed to what God wants and commit yourself and your energy to trying to straighten them out and trying to tell them they have lost their mind. And somewhere along the line, you miss your appointed time. And then you wonder why certain things happen. You wonder why you missed a certain place at a certain time. You wonder why all these different things have broken out of your life. Some of them have absolutely nothing to do with you not being ready for it, but sometimes it's because you've been distracted by uncommitted people trying to tell you you should decommit from what you're supposed to do because they're unhappy and you're too happy. Am I helping anybody in here? Don't you quit just because there are folk that don't have any understanding of what God needs to do through them. They need to have their own encounter. Your job is to keep on doing what God has said for you to do. If it's to teach, do that. If it's to preach, do that. If it's to evangelize, do that. If it's to go out and do outreach, do that. If it's to speak into somebody's life and let them know that God loves them, do that stuff. Whatever you got to do, keep on doing that. Don't waste your time on toxic. Waste your time on all the other mess. Keep your eyes fixed and watch how God will bless you in the midst of folk that don't understand. Jesus was willing to cut off people that he loved to get the job done. Mm-hmm. Two, you got to be intentionally seeking the will of God. People came from everywhere to see Jesus. They actually came from wherever they were. They found out where he was. They came to that spot. Imagine, like, I think there was a concert yesterday, right? Uh-huh. And they came to the Commons for this concert. And I'm willing to bet there were people that are not from Columbus that came to this concert in the Commons. But even if you stick to Columbus Metro, there were people that came from Gahanna, Grove City, New Albany, because, you know, just because you're up in New Albany don't mean that you can't love funk. You feel me? They came from Pickerington, Reynoldsburg, everywhere to come to the Columbus Commons because they had common ground. come to the commons because you on common ground. You want to hear the same folk that everybody. It don't matter where you live. Everybody, what they came for, what? The same thing. Right? It didn't matter where they came from. They came and they were around Jesus for the same thing. It didn't matter what hood they came from. They came for the same thing. And they had an interruption from an unwanted source. When you're seeking the will of God, know this from the beginning. You will always have something that will try to disrupt what you're trying to do when you're seeking God's will. Now pay attention to what I'm about to say next. You know that first word I use, intentionally. Intentional. Your intent is to know the will of God. Some people come to church but have no intent on knowing the will of God. Am I in the right place? There are folk that come to church that have no intent on knowing the will of God. Their intent is for somebody to preach them happy, sing them happy, and they leave out with an emotional high. And when they leave, they have no intent on continuing to enhance what God is trying to do in them. Let me go all the way here so you understand beyond a shadow of a doubt, I mean everything I'm saying. Your intent on knowing the will of God means that you will make the time. You will make the, we make time for everything. And then say, I don't know if I got enough time for. You make time for what you want. We got Bible study going on, and it's been so good. I get sick and tired of telling everybody that it's good. And you know that you reach the middle of the week and you need a pick-me-up. But you say, I'm going to keep away. You acting like this is your car. you wait. You coming down to E. And you, what do you say? Knowing that you know you'd be stuck between payday and you running out of gas. And what do you say? I know my car. I know my car. It's going to make it. No. Sometimes you got to be like some of us. When you get to a quarter of a tank, go fill it up. Why? Because it's actually more cost effective that way. Because if you got to fill it up, you got to pay a higher price. I just said something and you might have missed it. So let me back it up and say it one more time. You got to get to a place where you're not saying, God, I'm going to wait until I get on E so you can fill me up all over again. If you're getting down to a quarter and you know that God is trying to take you somewhere and you know that it's more than your little quarter can handle, you need to go somewhere and make sure that you're getting filled up all over again. That's why you got Bible study. That's why you got vacation Bible school coming up. Wink, wink. You got all kind of things that are coming up. That's why you got Saturday coming up. Wink, wink. If you haven't signed up, sign up for it. You need to make your intent to God know. All right. That I want to know your way. Yeah. And notice what I didn't say. I didn't say I want to just know United Methodist ways. I want to know the Lord's way. Yeah. People are messed up today because they don't know God's way. And they don't want to know God's way because that means you actually got to do something about it. They came to see Jesus. They didn't wait for Jesus to come to the temple. They found out where he was and they went there. And Jesus' family tried to disrupt the proceedings, but Jesus said, Y'all my people. So all my people are in this room. Those who what? Do the will of my Father. Last thing. There has to be an attraction to those fulfilling the purpose of God. Have you ever been around certain folk and you just click? I mean, you just, it didn't take much. It took about 2 minutes of a conversation and y'all are just like y'all been friends forever. Some of y'all in here have been around each other for years. And if you think back to how y'all first connected, y'all connected because something was almost instant. It wasn't just like, well, proximity. No, something's instant, because if it's lasted 20 years, 30 years, whatever, it was something that happened. It wasn't just proximity. It was something within. There are friends of mine that I have not physically seen in a few years. Social media is good for keeping track of each other. And phones are good for talking. We haven't seen each other in a few years. I know if I get with them face to face, we're going to act like we back in college. Is it because we're as young as we were in college? No. But I remember those college days when we were all around each other. It didn't take much. We just doing some of the craziest stuff in the world. And all of us now, we grown, we got families, we got kids, married, all these stuff. But when we get around each other, we're going to act like we're back in the cafeteria at Kentucky State. And possibly get into a little less trouble than we did. We ain't getting into no real trouble. We're just silly. Yeah, praise the Lord. Okay. We still didn't get into trouble. I just had friends that did like really stupid things. It was just funny. I mean, yeah. I still can't believe that one of my friends is a college professor, but back in college, he decided on a dare to slide down a hill on a table, and he was fine. Oh, he's fine. He just looked crazy, you know. I can't believe that all of us are professionals that we used to wear, you know, paint and dress up in green and gold and go to football games and look nuts. Even when our football team wasn't that great, we still look crazy. I mean, it was great. But when we get together, we'll click, because it's something that extends beyond time and interaction. There's things that we like. There's things that we talk about. There's things that we discuss. There are things that allow for us to still connect even in our 30s. When you're around the people of God, there ought to be something that's instant. Watch this. Watch this. Here's how you know you're really connected. If I can say something in a group, like I may have a group of five people, all everybody different, I know I'll connect with somebody because of how they'll respond. I don't like yes people, but I like possibility people. Do y'all know the difference? Let me help you out there. Yes people, no people, and possibility people. Possibility people are those that can begin to look at a thing when it's cast and see that this thing could work. And they ask themselves, how can I make this happen? Yes people say yes to everything, detail or not. No people say no to everything, because if it don't benefit them, it ain't no good. Possibility people, though, you cast it, and you're sitting back saying, man, this is what's been in my head. Possibility people say, you know what? I see it too. Have you ever thought that maybe it could look like this? Let's say it's a car. You know, I think this is how cars are designed sometimes. Some people want a classic look because they remember what it was like to get behind the wheel of a powerful car with a huge engine, right? And they're like, how are you going to sell a huge engine car in a world where everybody's worried about fuel efficiency? I'm like, well, maybe what we need to do is change up the engine. Make the engine fuel efficient, but have enough power to it that you lose nothing. Y'all see where I'm going? You don't have to change the vision to get it to happen. You just got to find a way to what? Make it happen. And that's why the people in that room were there, because they wanted to know what Jesus was about. And they wanted to know, what is this kingdom that you're talking about? What does it take for this thing to come to pass? What does it take for this thing to happen? We're here because we're hearing something we've never heard. And we want to know, how can this thing be fulfilled? That's what God is looking for out of us. God is not looking for people to continue to say, it can't happen. It is possible. You can think I'm crazy if you want to. It is possible to fill up this entire church. It is possible. You may not be seeing it, but I see it. I preach to 290 people every Sunday. Y'all missed it. I preach to 290 folk every Sunday. I'm going to say it one more time until I get the possibility folk to shout with me. I preach to 290 folk every Sunday. Over at Claire, I preach to 195 folk over at Claire every Sunday, because I'm looking at this thing for what it is. Not because I want to have an ego and have a bunch of people, but because I know that God has put more in us than what you could ever imagine. And what is happening now in this shift is we're going to find out who are the people that believe that the possibility of what God can do is even more so that he will do it, and you're ready for what he wants to do through you to make it happen. So, from a personal place, if you see me respond to a negative comment like this, well, God bless you. No, I'm telling you up front, because we've been together too long now, so you need to, in this season, if you hear me say, if you have a negative thing that comes out, and when I mean negative, I'm talking about you're not trying anything to say, hey, we can go further. But it's always something just, My response will be simple. God bless you. Because I'm trying to find people with the same DNA. So I pray that today you do a DNA test. Now, I ain't gonna try to close and holler today. Let me just say, I want you to do a DNA test today. And I want you to find out for yourself and be honest with yourself. Is God the Father? Does the Lord's blood run through your veins? Ha! Did the Lord really save you where it's running in your veins? Where it's undeniable that you can't rest until you get what God has for you. You can't rest until you see what God has promised be fulfilled. Or are you in need of a transfusion? This is where the shift begins. Not in your gifts, not in your natural abilities, but what is inside of you. Check. Check the DNA.